Final hour here, late night. Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And really in the first hour and a half, we did a pretty good job here splitting it up 50-50. Celtics winning 6 straight. Celtics with an impressive victory tonight with no Gordon Hayward, no Al Horford, no Kyrie Irving, no Aaron Baines, and yep, no Gershon Yabusele, but they still beat a pretty good team at the Garden to continue this winning streak, continue to climb up the Eastern Conference standings. Now just 2 games behind Philadelphia for the number 2 spot in the Eastern Conference. And what's most impressive to me is, despite the fact that the Raptors got off to this incredible start, got all this national TV publication, got, you know, everybody, ESPN, Fox Sports, Sports Illustrated, everybody suddenly hopping on the Raptors bandwagon, the Raptors, they've continued to play well. The Celtics have just played better. They've made up a few games here. They were trailing by as much as 7 games against the Raptors here just a couple weeks back. Now they trail the Raptors technically by 4, but only 3 games in the loss column. They've got 60 games to go. That is certainly a deficit that this Celtics team can make up if they want to put themselves in a position to get their number 1 seed and playoff and home court advantage throughout their playoffs. So I am damn proud of this Celtics team. Also talking about the Patriots, and really it's a tale of 2 teams, right? You got the Celtics really thriving, coming together, showing marked improvement game in and game out. You look at the addition of Marcus Smart to the starting lineup 6 games ago. It's no coincidence that the Celtics now have won all 6 of those games, 6 straight. And the Celtics are the best offensive team in basketball since the insertion of Marcus Smart into that starting lineup. And you compare and contrast it to the Patriots, where the Patriots, they're a veteran-laden team, but they're a team that's been up and down all season long. They're a team that's been an imperfect product all season long. And it's funny because when I listen to my colleagues here, and I watch my colleagues on TV, and I listen to my colleagues across the street, I have the exact opposite take, where everybody sees the Patriots at 9-4, not quite as strong as they had been in years past, where everybody sees the Patriots going into Miami and losing in heartbreaking fashion, and that signaling, you know, us being close to the end here, the imminent demise of Tom Brady and the imminent demise of Bill Belichick and quote-unquote their age catching up to them because they made mental mistakes yesterday. While physical mistakes are certainly difficult to deal with, it seems like physical mistakes are forgivable while mental mistakes are not. At least that's what I got, you know, listening to everybody here and everybody across the street. My take is this. If you thought that this Patriots team had enough talent to be up there with teams of Patriots past, then you were sadly mistaken from the moment that we went into the season. And I give Tom Brady and Bill Belichick a tremendous amount of credit because without their brilliance, this team would not be 9-4. This team would not be in a position to still earn themselves a first-round bye, which really does give them a nice advantage going into the playoffs. Is it as nice as a first-round bye and home field? Nope. We understand that. But still, this Patriots team has been an imperfect product from moment one this season. And despite all of their imperfections, and despite the fact that offensively they are middle of the road, and despite the fact that defensively they are barely middle of the road, and despite the fact that defensively on the road they're the worst team in football, despite all of that, despite the fact that Tom Brady's had to overcome the loss of his favorite targets and then rehabilitate guys like Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman and somehow try to squeeze all of the potential out of Gronk this year because he has been so up and down all season long, to me, this is one of the more brilliant seasons that we've seen from Tom Brady. One of the more brilliant seasons that we've seen from Bill Belichick. It takes pure brilliance to put this Patriots team with an imperfect roster in this sort of position. Now, do they cough up a golden opportunity yesterday? Absolutely they did. But is it worth pointing out yesterday's victory as the beginning of the decline or evidence that the decline is imminent? Like I'm hearing here and like I'm hearing across the street? To me, that's just it's a classic Patriots overreaction, and I expect so much better from you guys. And I do see you guys out there on the phone line, and I'll get right to the calls. But I do want to ask you guys this tonight at 617-779-7937. The Patriots, they've been an imperfect product all season long. We understand that. But to me, they're still one of the most dangerous teams going into the playoffs. Whether they lose out and go in as the 6th seed or win out and go in as the number 2 with that first round bye, If I were a Patriots opponent, I would not take them lightly, put it that way. They bring too much experience to the table. They bring too much poise and confidence to the table in these playoff games that I think will give them at least an opportunity, at least a shot, to beat the best of the best. So all that being said, you look at this Patriots team, they're an imperfect product, and they sort of have had their stumbles along the way this year. And compare and contrast them to the Celtics, where they came out of the gate this year with expectations through the roof. Vegas had the Celtics as the second-best team in basketball, had them in the NBA Finals. Optimistic Celtics fans, including myself, were busy convincing ourselves that not only could this team put up a fight against the Warriors, but maybe they could beat the Warriors. You know, but all that being said, they came out of the gate and through their first 20 games, they were a 500 team. They looked like a shell of the team that they were supposed to be. But over their last six games, they've been the best offensive team in basketball while being a damn good defensive team. And we've started to see this team realize that potential that we were all so excited about. So if you had to make a call right now, and what is it, December 11th officially now? If you had to make the call right now, I'm totally fascinated by this. Which team do you guys feel is more likely to represent their league in their said finals? So whether it's the Patriots in the Super Bowl or the Celtics in the NBA Finals, which one is more likely to achieve that goal? Not talking about winning the Super Bowl, not talking about winning the NBA Finals, but which team do you guys think is in a better position to at least represent and make the Super Bowl or make the NBA Finals? Which team will go longer throughout their postseason runs? Which team has more upside, the Celtics or the Patriots? What matters more? Experience, championship experience like the Patriots have, or youth and upside and the right mix of, you know, veteran all-stars like the Celtics have? Veteran coach like the Patriots have that's got multiple Super Bowls. I mean, crazy amount of Super Bowl appearances, just the best that's ever done it in Bill Belichick. Or a guy that is revered and coveted around the NBA in Brad Stevens, but a guy that really doesn't have any NBA Finals experience, and his NBA experience in the playoffs has been up and down, to be honest with you guys. I mean, you know, this is a guy that the Celtics make the conference finals the last 2 years. They lose in 5 2 years ago, and then they coughed up a 2-0 lead last year, coughed up a 3-2 lead last year, and coughed up a lead at home in Game 7 last year. So it's interesting when you look at these two teams. While some people look at these two teams going in completely different directions, the Celtics thriving, the Celtics really the young team, the Celtics the dynamic team, and the Patriots the aging veteran team, as the Celtics' biggest green teamer, I'll still tell you this. I would pick the Patriots to be in the Super Bowl before picking the Celtics to be in the NBA Finals. It kills me to say that because I want to see the Celtics there. But I just think it's much more realistic that this Patriots team pulls it together, comes together at the right time, and has just enough veteran savvy to make their way through the NFL playoffs. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony's in Rhode Island. Anthony, you're next up here on WEI.
How are you doing tonight, Patrick?
What's happening, Anthony?
Good. Not too much. Just wanted to talk about the interview today with Belichick. Made a few comments about the game and obviously that last play. And he was talking about the fact that there were many plays, he said, throughout the game that weren't so great, which I do agree with. But I got to say, one thing we can be happy about is, yes, the defense was shredded. However, the offense was able to go pound for pound back and forth with the Dolphins and score each time. That's something you've got to like seeing. That's something you have to enjoy seeing. Yes, the defense, our defense, meaning the Patriots, is not perfect. But they were able to answer every single thing that Miami had thrown at them. So I really do think that last play was a big deal. I mean, obviously, I know he was trying to sugarcoat it and skip over it and move on because he knows what we know as well. But still, I think he wanted to make a lot about, you know, there were a lot of missed opportunities. There were a few, a missed field goal kick, the obvious, you know, brain fart with Tom Brady, not realizing that he didn't have a timeout. There were definitely some mistakes made. I'm not saying they played perfect football. But the most important thing is that when a team strikes, you can strike back. And that was something I was happy to see. So I think he was really glossing over that fact and trying to you know, trying to put the focus on the rest of the game. But in fact, it wasn't pretty. It's a division game. These things happen. Look around the league. Look a lot of the other division games. It's the same thing. These teams play each other enough. The teams only change so much every year. They know each other pretty well for the most part.
Well, and Anthony,
the division games.
It's a good point, man. No, it's a great point because it's one that we brought up a little bit earlier. Whereas, you know, this Patriots team, whether they win out, go 2-1, go 1-2, whatever, whenever they make their way into the playoffs, regardless of their seed, regardless of the fact if they get that first round bye or not as the number two seed, of course, would like to see them do that. To me, the most important thing here is offensively. You want to see Gronk continue to have games like he had yesterday because that proves one thing, that physically he's still able to be a dominant Gronk. You want to see Edelman continue to look more and more like the Edelman that he was 2 years ago, and as this season has gone along, Edelman's become more and more dynamic. He's looked much more like his old self in recent weeks. And then, of course, Josh Gordon, he's completely healthy. The hamstring is healthy, and he's finally got this playbook down, I think. And those are three dynamic weapons that, when you think about it, Brady really didn't have to start the season. I mean, he had Gronk, but Gronk's been in and out. The other two guys, he didn't have to start the season. So I do think that there's this distinct possibility, Anthony, that as they make their way into the playoffs, the offense could be rounding into form at just the right time, to the point where we might not have seen the best out of this team offensively just yet.
Very succinctly put, Patrick. Exactly what I was saying. There were definitely bright spots. Like you said, Gronk, Edelman looked pretty well. He had some hard tackles that he had to absorb for some of those catches. I didn't think he was going to get back up from a couple of them, but he looks pretty good. I mean, that's what I mean. There were a lot of bright spots. So I think sometimes with Belichick, you know, he's trying to move on. He's doing it for the benefit of the team so they don't focus on what happened. But sometimes you're just going to call an ace and just be honest and say what happened, you know?
That's it, man.
Thank you very much, Patrick. You keep up with the good work. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate the phone call. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Look, when we come back here, I really do want to hear this from you guys because I really, on the drive in, I was thinking about this, and I'm curious to hear what you guys have to say after yesterday's difficult loss for the Patriots, after tonight's sixth consecutive victory for the Celtics over a pretty good Pelicans team that stars Anthony Davis, who I think all Celtics fans envision in green next year. You know, this Celtics team completely depleted of all their stars, 4 out of 5 of their potential starters unable to play tonight. And this Celtics team still manages to score 113 points. They hold the Pelicans to 100. They win their sixth straight game. Let's not forget the huge expectations put on this team when the season started. This team, Las Vegas said, was going to the NBA Finals. Now, through the first 20 games of the season, they didn't look that way. Maybe they're starting to round back into that team. And the Patriots, they are always dangerous. The Patriots are always a team, regardless of seeding, that you've got to be wary of if you are a potential Patriots opponent. But listening to my colleagues here today, both on EEI and on 98.5, and on all the TV talk shows last night, it seems to me that people are once again prematurely ready to bury Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. So if it were your call and it were your money and you had to place the bet, which team do you think is more likely to represent their league in their league's final? Do you think it's going to be the Celtics in the NBA Finals, or is it going to be the Patriots in the Super Bowl? We'll talk about that and more and take more of your phone calls when we come back at 617-779-7937. So it is Sports Radio WEI. It's late night here. Number for you guys at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And Chris, I see you there. I'll get to you in 1 second. I just want to say this. So tonight, Dwayne Wade and his Heat went to Los Angeles to play LeBron James and his Lakers. And the Lakers wound up winning in the closing minute of the game. And, you know, after the game, close friends and former teammates won championships together. Dwayne Wade and LeBron exchange a nice hug and a brief conversation that was caught on camera. And Dwayne Wade goes up to LeBron and says, "I appreciate you letting it end here for me," meaning this is their last matchup where they'll play each other, right? Last time that these two guys will play on opposing teams, play each other on a basketball court in the National Basketball Association. So Dwayne Wade goes up to LeBron and says, "I appreciate you letting it end here." And LeBron's answer to Wade is, "Well, it was either going to be here or at the Garden." Now, do you remember early on in the Celtics offseason, there were rumors out there that the Celtics were interested in LeBron and LeBron was interested in the Celtics? I wonder if he meant the TD Garden or the Madison Square Garden. And when you look at the Knicks, I don't think LeBron really had much interest in going to the Knicks. They've been an eternal mess for the last 15 years. But we do know that there were stories connecting LeBron with the Celtics, and that gets me to my larger point here. So last night I'm driving home with my son, who's 8 years old, and he says, "Daddy, what's the guy's name in basketball that you hate, the king?" And I said, "LeBron James." And he says, "Have you always hated LeBron?" I said, "Yep, I've always hated LeBron." And then he gets me with the question. An eight-year-old stumped me. And he said, "Well, what if LeBron was on the Celtics? Could you still hate him then?" And I immediately changed the subject because it's something that probably will never happen at this stage in LeBron's career. So it's nothing that I've really got to worry about. I've got enough real stressors in my life. I don't need to be consumed with fictional stress. But LeBron saying that tonight brings me back to that conversation. I truly wonder just how close it was. Were there conversations between Danny Ainge and LeBron James? Was that a real possibility? We heard that it was very early on in the offseason. Remember, Stephen A. Smith mentioned the Celtics as a possible destination the second that the offseason started. And I wonder if LeBron thought that he was close to joining the Celtics. I really do. You got to replay that conversation. It's all over the internet. It's all over TV. If you're intrigued, if you're interested, you can't miss it. Hop on Twitter. Type in LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. Again, Dwayne Wade says, "I appreciate you letting it end here." And LeBron's answer is, "Well, it was either going to be here or at the Garden." I find that potential fascinating to discuss because what a different Celtics team it would be. Would they be better? Maybe in the short term, but their window would certainly be much, much shorter. And could I really embrace LeBron James in a Celtics uniform? I am so grateful that I don't have to worry about that. But it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go to Chris. Chris is in Rhode Island. Chris, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on, first of all. Even though what I was calling in for didn't have to do with it, I wanted to answer your question you asked everyone. I think the Patriots have a definite better shot of reaching the Super Bowl than the Celtics do of reaching a finals. Not that I think the Celtics aren't a team that's capable of it. I just think that the Celtics aren't quite there yet as a team, and I don't see them gelling that well by the end of the season.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, when you look at the Patriots, too, you know this as well as I do. The regular seasons, both in basketball and in football to a certain extent, you know, they're meaningful, but usually it's the veteran-laden teams that come through. And when you look at the Patriots...
I'm sure once the postseason starts, the Patriots are going to be a much different team. Gronk will be much more active. We'll see him like he was this weekend, you know?
But the only question really is, Chris, you know, if they go into the playoffs and they get that first round bye, their first game is an immediate, you know, powerhouse that they'd have to play in Kansas City. So what's your confidence level that they can go into Kansas City and beat a team that's been essentially a machine all year long with the exception of losing to the Patriots?
Well, that's actually what I was calling in about. I don't think they're going to have to go into Kansas City.
Okay.
I think that the AFC is going to have to go through Los Angeles, as crazy as that sounds. And I think that the fact that it sounds crazy that I'm saying that is what's scary about it, is I think the Chargers are the best team in football, and no one's talking about them because they don't own a fan base right now.
So they're what, 10-3 on the year right now? Is that right? A game behind?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going into Kansas City this Thursday, I think. The game's Thursday night.
Yep.
And Melvin Gordon's coming back. Philip Rivers is having one of the best seasons of any quarterback, and it's just amazing no one's talking about this team right now. And I couldn't imagine a more inspired team behind that kind of, like, I don't even know a word to describe it. Shadow, you know?
So
they're living in everyone else's shadow, especially Kansas City.
It's hard to go under the radar at 10-3, but that's exactly what the Chargers have done. But Chris, just to be clear here, you're a Patriots fan, right?
I'm not, actually.
Okay. Well, imagine that you are a Patriots fan just for a moment. If you're a Patriots fan and you're interested in the Patriots getting back to a Super Bowl, is the road more difficult, in your opinion, through the Chargers or through the Chiefs?
I'd like to see the Chiefs this week to decide that, to be honest, because I don't think we've seen – I know that they had a tough game this week against Baltimore, but I think this week was the first week they really had to deal with the Kareem Hunt issue, like not having that kind of stability as in a running back. Because I'm not looking at that Oakland game as anything. I don't think any team needs to take Oakland serious right now. I don't think Oakland takes games serious right now.
No, they probably don't.
I think John Gruden's trying to lose. If anything, he's just collected draft picks, training all those players away. But yeah,
and Gruden's also collecting checks, Chris. Let's be serious about what Gruden's doing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Gruden's another issue. I think that's just his entire career has been built off of stealing people's stuff. But anyway.
It's a good point, man. It's a good point talking about, I'm up against it here. I appreciate the phone call, Chris. Call anytime. But I will say this. The Chargers are a team that even us here, you know, dissecting, analyzing, doing all this talking about the Patriots, literally filling, you know, from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. So what's that, 22 hours of airtime each and every day. We haven't spoken much about the Chargers. It's always been about KC. And you know, if you're a Patriots fan, you know, I'm not sure. I really think that you would choose to play the Chargers if at all possible. Despite the fact that Phillip Rivers is having a great year, I feel like the Patriots would go into the Chargers and feel more confident. Just because the Chargers, look, they've had a very good year. But the Patriots have had success against them in years past. And when you look at this KC team, they're a team that's still kind of a surprise this year, right? So there's still a bit of an unknown factor there. Now, you know, you talk about the situation that the Chiefs are in with their running back. That is a story that sort of was amped up last week, and it's died down since then because they were able to come through with a win. But that's something where I think we'll finally learn exactly how much of an offensive hit this team has taken over more of a long-term sort of stretch here. So whether it's two games, three games, four games, we'll see exactly what the impact is here. You know, I still think that there's got to be somewhat of an impact. You look at this KC team, and to me, they're a team that offensively, they can easily hang 40 to 50 points on you. That's what they've done all season long. And that's what's scary if you're a Patriots fan going into Kansas City, where they've been exceptional offensively. The Patriots defensively on the road have been pretty abysmal. I mean, a lot of NFL rankings have them the worst defensive road team in the NFL. So you're going to be the worst defensive road team in the NFL going into the most prolific offense in the NFL. That's a difficult, difficult situation for the Patriots to put themselves in. I don't think it's a situation that's not without, you know, opportunity for success. I really do think the Patriots are coming together at the right time despite what happened yesterday. I do think offensively this Patriots team has yet to reach its potential for this year, despite what happened yesterday. I love the fact that when you look at Tom Brady's numbers over his last four games, Tom Brady's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And to me, that tells me one thing. It's not that Tom Brady's any different than he was in the first 4 weeks of the season or the second 4 weeks of the season. It tells me that Tom Brady's getting more comfortable with his receivers, and Tom Brady's receivers are getting healthier. They're putting themselves in a position to succeed. So to me, that is the Patriots' sort of secret weapon here as they make their way into the playoffs, into the final stretch of the regular season. You look at Tom Brady over his last four games, he's 71 for 106, 952 passing yards, six touchdowns with 110 passer rating. That is outstanding work from your 41-year-old quarterback. And to me, those numbers are a reflection of Julian Edelman getting healthier, getting more comfortable, getting his strength and athleticism back after missing a year plus four games. You know, that knee, people don't talk about the knee. We talk about him missing the year. Well, that was a devastating knee injury, and to come back from an injury like that at 32 years old and then missing the first four games this year, that is not an easy task. But clearly, if you watch this team week in and week out, clearly Edelman is starting to round back into Edelman form. Whether he'll ever reach peak Edelman again, I don't know. But 90% of Jules is better than most out there, and that's what you're getting right now. Gronk, he had a great week last week offensively after each and every one of us were ready to declare him dead. You know, no longer a capable star-type player out there, no longer a capable target for Tom Brady, no longer the tight end, the all-world tight end that he used to be. Remember the conversation surrounding Gronk last week is that he was essentially done. That's what everybody was saying. And then what's he do? He shuts everybody up. So I know they lost, but there are enough positive signs offensively between Edelman, between Gronk, and of course between Josh Gordon getting healthy and getting better, getting more familiar with this team and the offense week in and week out. And to me, that's going to be the key here for this Patriots team. Defensively, I don't think they've got the horses. I don't think they've got the talent to be an elite defensive team. So I feel like this Patriots defensive team is going to be a week-to-week proposition. And it's going to be about scheming and game planning defensively. And I hate to say it, but because of their lack of talent defensively, it's going to come down to bend but don't break. And it's so cliche, but there's a reason why this Patriots team has implemented that for years. Because defensively, they don't always have the horses that they need. Offensively, though, if you have Tom Brady rolling, if you have Gronk rolling, if you have Edelman rolling, and if you've got Josh Gordon rolling, that's going to be a very difficult offense to stop, regardless of seeding and regardless of location of the game. That is the Patriots' best hope to reach the Super Bowl, in my opinion. It is Sports Radio, WEI. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up, but I still have only heard from three of you guys on this, and I'm very, very much intrigued. If you're a Celtics fan and a Patriots fan, this applies to you. Which one of these two teams is more likely to represent their league in their league's championship? Is it the Patriots in the Super Bowl or the Celtics in the finals? Come on, we got 10 minutes. I want to hear from you guys on that. I'm a Celtics fan that's saying the Patriots. I feel a little bit dirty doing that, but I just can't buy in to this Patriots team being completely out of the loop, out of the conversation, and unable to reach another Super Bowl. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at
617-779-7937.
There was the moment between LeBron James and Dwayne Wade tonight out there in Los Angeles, as Dwayne Wade and LeBron have played each other on a basketball court in the NBA for the final time. And while that's a cool story unto itself, if you're a basketball junkie like myself, two guys that were teammates, went to four consecutive NBA finals, won two of them. There's a certain amount of history there between those two guys. And when they weren't teammates, they were certainly rivals over the last 10, 15 years in the NBA. They've got a clear relationship and a clear friendship. You know, these guys vacation together, travel together. And when you listen to this dynamic between the two, as a Celtics fan, and as a Celtics fan, I will take you guys back to the immediate aftermath of the Celtics losing in Game 7 last May to LeBron James and his Cavaliers. And then about 2 weeks later, the Cavaliers were dismissed from the NBA Finals. So Stephen A. Smith comes on TV at some point within 48 hours of the Cavaliers being done, and all the rumors and innuendo surrounding LeBron James had heated up and was in full force at this point. Where would LeBron play, you know, the next season? Would it be in Cleveland? Would it be in New York? Would it be in Boston? Would it be in Los Angeles? Would it be with the Clippers in Los Angeles? There were a handful of teams that were certainly part of the mix there. But Stephen A. Smith threw the Celtics out there front and center, almost like he had some insider knowledge that there was interest from the Celtics. Now, we never got that confirmed from Danny Ainge. We never got that confirmed from the Celtics. But that conversation there, you know, Dwayne Wade goes up to LeBron James and says, you know, thanks for letting this take place here. And LeBron says, well, it was either going to be here or at the Garden. So that tells me that it's either the Celtics or the Knicks that was relatively close to making LeBron James a member of their organization. The fact that LeBron has that front and center on the mind in that moment, I mean, it must have got relatively close with one of these two teams. And when you look at the Knicks don't strike me as a team that LeBron James would want to go to at all, quite frankly. LeBron, at this stage in his career, went to the Lakers because, A, he can resurrect Showtime and be the man in Los Angeles, but, B, more importantly, not only do they have a good young core of players, Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, Rondo, you know, as a veteran guy that can come in and help. But more importantly, they've got enough money next year to add a second max-level contract to play alongside LeBron James, and the early rumors are that that guy is going to be Kawhi Leonard. So for LeBron, he can sort of play the next 3 or 4 years as he begins to approach 40 with a second superstar plus these young guys. It's a good fit for him in Los Angeles, much like it could have been a good fit on the court for him here in Boston. So that's a funny conversation to me because as a Celtics fan and as a LeBron James hater, I mean, I am first and foremost in the LeBron James hate club, I would have a lot of internal issues to work through if LeBron had decided to join the Celtics. And that's just a very interesting little NBA tidbit right there when you consider, when you think about the possibility of LeBron James joining the Celtics. Why else would LeBron say it was either going to be here or at the Garden? So Celtics fans, that's something to think about. I mean, was it close between the Celtics and LeBron James? Stephen A. said there was a conversation, but then that talk sort of died down and died down very, very quickly. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. So this week, I'm with you guys tonight, of course, till 2 a.m. I'm off tomorrow night, but I'm with you guys Wednesday night, 10 to 2. Thursday night immediately following Thursday night football till 2 a.m. and then Friday from 10 to midnight. So you get four full shifts of Gilroy here this week, and we will continue to dive deeper and deeper into this Patriots team as they make their way towards, you know, their next challenge here. And that's going to be a very, very interesting game coming up next weekend against the Steelers. Two teams that should play with some semblance of desperation. That Steelers team, there's multiple scenarios in which they could potentially not be in the playoffs. I mean, help from other teams would have to happen. But if the Steelers don't come out desperate next week, then you know that there's something internally very wrong with that team. Patriots should have their hands full. So as the week goes along, we'll continue to dissect and talk about that. And will this Patriots team be able to fully recover from what took place in Miami yesterday? The Celtics, next time you and I speak, it'll be following just about the Celtics' next game. Celtics on the road coming up on Wednesday. We'll see what this team does. Are they able to win their seventh game in a row? Lots to talk about when I come back here for late night on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tonight, you guys were good. You weren't great, but you were good. Much like the Patriots yesterday. Great, but not good. Not quite good enough. We'll all do better together on Wednesday night. Until then, my name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Sports Radio WEI. Stay tuned. It's NBC Sports Radio. That comes up next. Bye-bye.